We decided to make this more like a family type of service in light of all that's been going on. It's a very good way to go. Have children stay in with moms and dads. I'll use the word confused. That may not be the right word. As confused as me, though, Thursday, Friday, kind of what do I do? What do we do? Anybody else with me? What way is this thing going? What should we do as a family? And then what do we do as a church? We know that a lot of churches decide early on, hey, we're going to go ahead and cancel. And we waited, and it's just good to be together this morning, isn't it? Isn't it? And I think just the number of folks here this morning indicates that. So we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer here. And then I'm going to take us to a passage that talks about life storms. Okay? And I was going to have us break into small groups, but because of the time, I think I will not have us do that. But the notes you were given this morning on the back side have a number of prayer requests from folks at Charleston Bible Church. When I sent out this email, let me know of different ones in Florida. Well, different ones responded. I see Jen responded. Sherry responded. The Zales responded. The Hales responded, Zach and Leanne. And so you see different ones. And so that will give you something this afternoon, really, maybe even around the lunch table, to pray for these people specifically. All right, and other things. In fact, I'm going to mention a few other things to pray for that you might want to write down at the bottom of that side. And then Sandra is going to lead us in prayer. And then Jack, I've asked them to lead us in prayer. This is a very important time to call out to God, isn't it? Yeah, just to declare our dependence upon Him, our hope in Him. So besides those requests, I would encourage you to pray for government officials down in Florida or in Texas. What do? Tough time to lead. Tough time to lead. No matter what decision you may make, somebody's going to say that was the wrong decision, right? Yep. So we need to pray for our officials. We want to pray for our churches, that in these times, in these very situation where there's need, there's opportunity to meet those needs and to proclaim Christ. And so we want to pray for the churches, and then obviously for the people and the loss and the heartache and the number of people that have evacuated. Our son left Melbourne when the storm looked like it was going to come that way, went to Alabama, storm moved like it was going to go that way. Now he's en route and he's going to end up our house about noon. Maybe he just wants to do lunch by us, but his place eventually is going to be back to Melbourne as they've been fleeing. How many of you have had relatives or family that have fled out of Florida? Let's see that. All right, a number of hands, a number of folks. So I've just given you a number of other things to pray, but I'm going to ask Sandra first of all, and she's got a mic there, so you'll be able to hear her pray, and when she's done, Jack will lead us in prayer. Then we'll go to God's Word for a while. Our intent is not to have this, our regular length service and go till 12:30, but if I get all fired up, we'd like to be done noonish ourselves. But Sandra?
Lord, we have seen, we see storms on every hand, from earthquakes to fire, to these hurricanes, tsunamis. Lord, we are amazed at your great power. And Lord, we don't know what you're doing. We don't understand your ways, but Lord, we cry out to you. Because we know that you are in charge of these storms. We know, Lord, that it's our hearts that you want to speak to. And, Lord, we pray for those people. I know I've prayed for people, and they are in the middle of these storms. And, Lord, I'm just praying that they'll cry out to you. We ask, Lord, that through this, that people will look up and realize your awesome, mighty power. And Lord, we'll cry out to you. And Lord, I pray that through this, that the churches will be revived. And Lord, we'll have a great revival. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to my heart and to each of our hearts about what you want from us, what you want us to do. And we just commit ourselves to you, Lord, and thank you and praise you.
Our Father in heaven, we have such great confidence in a God who answers prayer. We know that from the Psalms and the prophets, the Gospels, the epistles, we are encouraged over and over again not just to come, but to come boldly, knowing the God to whom we pray hears us. The sovereign God of the universe, the compassionate God who gave his Son to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of you in him. Father, we come not because of anything that we have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. And with the confidence that you are listening to our prayers this morning here, but not only here, but all over this country,
amen,
all over this world, we know that your children are crying out for those in the path or the wake of these storms, these hurricanes. And Father, we praise you because we know that you are sovereign over every molecule. You have your way in the whirlwind. And it is your desire that men and women seek you and find you. You have said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the world and lose his own soul? There are many, Lord, who are losing much as a result of these storms. And in that loss, our prayer, our cry is that they would look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. And God, we pray for those in leadership positions. Would they look to you? And would you give them the wisdom to make the right decisions? At a time like this, we pray for those in Washington as they make decisions regarding help and relief. Lord, we pray for the rapid responders and for those that are risking their lives at this time and will to rescue people. Lord, we pray for those on this sheet, though we can't mention them all by name, but Lord, that you would watch over each and every one of them. And Father, we pray for the churches. What an opportunity it is to be able to go out and to reach and to give and to lay down our lives for those that are hurting. And our heart's prayer through all of this, Lord Jesus, because you have permitted it, is what we read in the great prayer of our Lord, who said, pray, our Father in heaven, may your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And may your will be done as a result of these storms, that many would be saved, that many would come together regardless of differences that divide us. And Lord, would your blessing be upon our nation? And Father, most importantly, would you revive the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Use this that we might cry out to you. Revive us again. Fill each heart with your love. And use us in what I so desire as a result of these storms. Be honored, be glorified. Lord, through your mercy, provide the needs that we cannot. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's probably Thursday. I'm thinking, what do I do with the message I'm preparing? I've been working through Philippians. And I've enjoyed it. I've just enjoyed it. I've enjoyed my study this week. But there's this shifting that takes place. And so it's, all right, where do we go when we come together with a situation like we're in? And so that's why we're going to Mark chapter 4 and lessons from a storm for life's storms. That would be my desire. So open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to seek to learn three lessons from the disciples with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read about teaching God's laws to one's children. And there it talks about teaching God's law at home and on the way, lying down or getting up, binding it on your hand, writing it on your doorpost, on your gates. In other words, teach God's word all the time, at all places, and in all sorts of ways. That's what it's teaching us, isn't it? In other words, all of life really is like a classroom. Have you noticed that about your life? It's, you know, class with God's always in session. Have you noticed that? I would hope that would be our perspective. And so we think in terms of teachable moments, don't we? Maybe as a parent. All right, I know I'm looking for all these different opportunities and teach in different ways, and there are teachable moments, and I think Hurricane Irma is a teachable moment. Would you not agree? For us, our families, us as a nation. And so we're asking, what can we learn from Hurricane Irma about storms? And really, out of this passage in Mark 4, what can we learn from the disciples as they are in this storm on the Sea of Galilee? For our lives, they're in a storm, there's lessons to be learned. What can we learn from them? And I would hope when we think of storms, it's not just, well, it's a hurricane, that's the only kind of storm, or a storm on a lake. Storms come in all kinds of different stripes and persuasions, do they not? They can be financial, or relational, or problems at work. All kinds of storms that we have in life. And so even broader than just, hey, what are we learning through this Hurricane Irma or Hurricane Harvey, what can we learn about life storms? Now, there are all kinds of lessons. I mean, we could just open it up and you could say, well, we can learn this, we can learn this, we can learn this. And indeed there are. We seem to be more teachable, most teachable, when we're in life storms. We learn a lot about life in life storms, don't we? But let's look at Mark 4. Let me begin reading with verse 35. There's Hurricane Irma. And it reads, on that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. And so leading the crowd, they took Jesus along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there was a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he got up and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, Hush, be still. And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, Why are you afraid? Guys, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they became very much afraid and said to one another, Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey? Who is this guy in the boat with us who calms the storm? Wow. Three lessons. First one is this, that storms come unexpectedly and are unpredictable as they come into our lives. 2 or 3 weeks ago, who was thinking of Irma? Come on, I'll be honest. We're all thinking about Hurricane Harvey, right? And then Irma, unexpected, and not just unexpected, unpredictable, right? Look at this. You've seen this. They call them spaghetti models. You know, I say this tongue in cheek, but it's like they had this the spaghetti and they start throwing it on the 13 different models. Hey, that's the way we figure this thing out. They are going every direction. Here's some 13 different models, I believe. And then they have the cone of probability, right? We all pay attention to that cone of probability. It goes out about 5 days. But storms come unexpectedly, and they're unpredictable. The disciples on the Sea of Galilee, Matthew's parallel account, we read this. This is a New Living Translation. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake. Or the NIV, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake. Suddenly. And indeed, the topography or geography there of the Sea of Galilee does result in storms that can quickly come in. But it's suddenly. Seems like a lot of storms are like that, right? Unexpected. Really not planned on. Unpredictable. I've read this to you before, and so it's probably going to sound familiar. This is out of Reader's Digest. I enjoy this story. Life in these United States, Jennifer Jasek. She says, one evening, my former boss was getting out of the shower when his wife called asking him to turn off an iron she had mistakenly left on in the basement before she left for the weekend. Thinking no one would see him, he ran down the stairs into the dark basement without even a towel on. And as he flipped on the light switch, though, he was shocked to hear dozens of people yell, "Surprise!" His wife had orchestrated the secret party to celebrate his 40th birthday. Yeah. Surprise! There were a lot of surprised people, weren't there? And aren't those storms surprise or suddenly? Those are the terms we would use. Yeah. On Friday, my cousin Jack called. I roomed with Jack at Western Michigan for a year. We were pretty tight, about the same age. He had been in ministry for a number of years. And he called to check up on me. And he indicated that he mentioned his son Jeffrey was in an automobile accident in California. And it was a week ago today, I believe, that he got a call. And his son was saying, "Dad, I've been in an accident." Yeah. Now, Jeffrey's all right. He's diabetic. His blood sugar went low. And so he hit a car and another car hit them, whatever. But Jack mentioned that it reminded him of our phone call that Diane and I got about 10 years ago. It was Labor Day when a friend of our son, Nathan, called up to say he's been in an accident. Yeah. Unexpected. It was Labor Day. Wasn't it, Diane? The Labor Day morning. All of a sudden, everything changes. Suddenly, surprise! Storms are unexpected and unpredictable. We see that with the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, or in the ocean, in the sea with Jesus. And let me make an observation in passing that the disciples, if you notice it in Mark 4, were following Jesus' command. They were acting in obedience to him when the storm comes up. Verse 35 says, on that day when evening came, Jesus said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." And so bad storms do come into the lives of good people who are doing God's will, do they not? It's not like, well, those bad storms just happened to just bad people. No. And so we want to ask, and we want to ask this of each point, how do we apply this, that storms come and they're unpredictable and that they're unexpected? And I want to say that doesn't mean we can't prepare beforehand. Right? Hasn't that been the big push with Irma? And in fact, we're all tired of hearing of Irma. Really, for about 2 weeks, you track this thing. It looks like it's going to come our way. And the idea is make preparation. And some folks, indeed, from the church, evacuated, made preparation. Diane and I have gone downtown the last 2 nights just to see things down there. There's a number of businesses and homes that are boarded up. So make preparation. How do we do that as Christians? A couple of suggestions. How do we make preparations for life storms? The first thing I would say is maintain a vibrant relationship with God. Maintain a vibrant relationship with God. You know, when Irma's coming in, Thursday night is not the time to get real spiritual. Right? Can I hear an amen? It's tough to get real spiritual on short notice, isn't it? That may be the way it has to be, but I would encourage us to maintain a vibrant relationship with God. I'm just going to pull different illustrations from Scripture with some of my ideas and application, at least application here. David, 1 Samuel 30, he's been fleeing Saul for years, and they come back. He has this band of men, Ziklag is their headquarters. They've gone off and they come back and the city's been destroyed. And their wives and children had been taken captive. And David's men say, don't let them get away, let's stone them. They want to stone David. They're tired of his leadership. And notice what we read. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and daughters. But notice here, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I take us to this passage all the time. Here in those kind of circumstances, where does David find strength? And I don't think it was, oh, I better get spiritual now. We know more than that about David, don't we? He had this vibrant relationship with God, and in the midst of these very difficult storms, he draws on that relationship. Does he not? Well, where did his strength come from? It comes from the Lord. And so we can make preparation. It's not like, wow, it just has to be here. Now's the time to prepare ourselves, our families, for things to come. And I'd offer a second suggestion. How can we prepare? I'd suggest get in a good church where you will be loved. You know, get in a church where when something like this comes up, you'll get an email or maybe a phone call saying, you all set for this? You going to be okay? Somebody like Diane Murray, who's single and has all these health concerns. People here making sure she's going to be cared for. I get calls, I'll say regularly, of people asking for help. And I may ask of them, well, where do you go to church? And almost invariably, I don't go to church anywhere. What about your family? Well, I'm not getting, you know, whatever. And so they don't have anybody they can draw on. Boy, church is a great place to be any time of the year, but especially when there's storms. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. Yeah. Lesson number two from storms. We need to be careful what we think in storms. We need to be careful where our thinking takes us. Mark chapter 4, verse 38. What do the disciples say to Jesus when they wake him up? Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Or the New Living Translation, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Ooga, ooga, the boat's going down. Every man for himself. What's he doing sleeping on the cushion? Right? Yeah. We can so quickly think the worst in life storms. Even here, and their situation was bad, and in fact, drowning may have been a very real possibility, but that's where our thoughts can take us, can't they? When we get into storms, it's the worst possible outcome. We're all going to drown. Or maybe even worse than that is their thinking that, Jesus, don't you care? Isn't that something? Don't you care? And here's the Son of God who had humbled himself, taking on the form of flesh, going to the cross, and they would ask, Don't you care? We need to be careful what we think in storms because things aren't usually what we think. And maybe that's where leaders step up in the midst of storms, and they're not with everybody else kind of panicking. They're the ones, although they're charged with it oftentimes, you need to step up. We need some clear thinking on your part. We need to be careful what we think in storms because things aren't usually what we think. I like this picture. You know, we see what's going on the surface, but boy, everything underneath it, and there's so much more going on, isn't there, in life and in life storms. So much more going on. And we'll hear some of that coming out of Houston. We'll hear some of that coming out of South Florida, won't we, of ways that God worked. In 2 Kings 6, there's another illustration, biblical illustration. Elisha is in Dothan. And the Arameans are really upset with Elisha, and they've come to take him captive. And so they show up outside the city. And Elisha's attendant, evidently it's in the morning, looks out, and it's like, whoa. Storm! Category 5! Notice what we read. Now, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were circling the city. That's the Arameans circling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" How do you think he said that? Inflection. I love inflection in these stories. What do you think he did? He said, "What do you think we should do, Elisha?" It's Panic City, right? What do you think we should do? And he answered him, "Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And I was like, I got more to fear about. You lost it, Elisha. But we read, then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Things aren't always what they seem. And so we need to be very careful as we are in the midst of storms, and our thoughts can be just like that storm, can't they? They're just swirling, like a hurricane, they're swirling. It's got, no. I need to pull in my thinking. Yeah. Let me apply this idea of watching our thoughts. I would encourage on our part scripture memory. We've been encouraging that. That's been an emphasis as of late that's been being brought to Charleston Bible Church. Yeah. Scripture memory. But it's so good at helping us control our thoughts, because when do our thoughts typically run wild with us oftentimes, right? It's at night. Anybody like that? You're laying on your pillow. There's nothing maybe to distract you, and there you are. Your eyes may be open, and you're tossing and turning, and your thoughts can run in all kinds of directions, can they not? And they can really make things bad. And scripture memory, or the Word of God, is the very thing that you can throw out and reel them back in. That's my experience. I'm talking out of my life. And in fact, I kind of like being stirred at night, not necessarily even by something that's going on, some anxiety, but when I lay back down, if I get up and use the restroom or whatever, I like to go fall back to sleep thinking on maybe a passage of scripture I'm working with, a sermon I'm working on, or something I've memorized. I don't know, it seems to me to put me right back to sleep. Can I hear an amen? Oh, what a practical application. Because our thoughts do run wild, and so how do we reel them back in, especially at night? It's through scripture, and scriptures we've memorized, and we take those thoughts that are running wild, and we pull them back in, and before long, you know, Diana's poking me, saying, "What do you do? You have a praise service over there? What do you do?" No, it's not quite that bad, but the Word of God. Idea number three, observation number three from Mark 4. Lesson number three, we need to turn to Jesus in our storms. First one was this: storms come unexpectedly and unpredictable. Second lesson is we need to be careful what we think in life's storms. And lesson number three is this one: we need to turn to Jesus in our storms. And I would submit to you that this is the main idea of the whole story. This is the main idea in the whole story. In this storm, when everything's coming apart, they call on Jesus and he stands up and calms that storm. I would call it a sign. John in his gospel regularly spoke of Jesus' miracles as signs that pointed to a greater reality. And that's what we're seeing here in this storm. It's pointing to a greater reality as Jesus calms it. Who is this God? Notice verse 38. Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea. So it's almost as if he calmly got up, isn't it? Just the way that reads. He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Faith in whom? Faith in him. Faith in what he had spoken to them. Oh, and they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Would you turn to your neighbor and make that last statement to them? Who then is this? Go ahead, turn to somebody. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I would submit to you that's really the issue for us in life storms. Who is this? And what they do here when they turn to Jesus is the one thing they get right or seem to get right in this storm. They call upon Jesus Christ to save them. And he stills the storm, and they're left asking that question, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And verse 41 is a great statement, especially if we were to go back to the Greek text, because it says this, it says they became very much afraid. Actually, in the Greek, it says they feared a great fear. Isn't that great? They feared a great fear concerning who Jesus is. And I like MacArthur's statement. MacArthur says this: the only thing more terrifying than having a storm outside was having God in the boat. Isn't that great? And I would suggest that things really start to change for us in life's storms when we come to see who Jesus is, who God is. Things really start to change in our storms when we give God his proper place, have a proper understanding of who he is and who his son Jesus Christ is. This song actually comes out of Hebrews 6. We have an anchor. And in fact, we're going to sing that here in just a few minutes. But it reads, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain?" And behind that is Hurricane Irma. And then the refrain goes, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock." And we should probably have that: who cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. So we have an anchor in life's storm. And we anchor onto God's greatness seen in the created order. And we anchor onto God's goodness, which is seen in the cross. And so I would submit to you that what we need to do on a very fundamental level in the midst of life storms is think of God's goodness seen in creation and think of God's goodness seen in the cross, and think of God's greatness seen in creation. And those two anchors will hold us in good stead. Steve Lawson, in his commentary on Philippians, and he's talking about Paul and his circumstances, and Curtis alluded to Paul and his circumstances. We're becoming familiar with him as he's imprisoned. Yeah, but he sees God at work, and so he says, I'm going to have joy in these circumstances, in this storm. As I go before Nero, I'm going to have joy because the gospel's going forward. And I really can't lose, because if he gives thumbs up and I live, I'm going to go proclaim the gospel some more. And if I die, he gives thumbs down, I'm going to go be with Jesus Christ. Paul had a great God. And Lawson makes this statement. Paul lays his head on the pillow of the sovereignty of God, and he sleeps well on it. Isn't that a good statement? Yep, at night when we may toss and turn and our thoughts run wild and we reel them in, oh, we will sleep well on the pillow of the sovereignty of God. We have an anchor that keeps the soul. Amen? And so, lessons from a storm. Hopefully, at least this morning, as we've come together and we've kind of put this together and had things very simple, you'll leave here and say, you know, I'm very encouraged to meet as the people of God, to sing His praise, to call out to Him, and to look at His Word and find comfort. It's good to be together this morning. And the lessons from this storm, number one, storms come unexpectedly and unpredictable, but you can prepare for it. We need to be careful what we think in storms. Our thoughts can run wild, so let's really hold on to God's Word, and Scripture memory is a great way to do it. And then we need to turn to Jesus in our storms. Who is this guy? Well, if we can answer that question well, yeah, then we will be those who will step forward in the midst of life storms, and people will look at us just like they looked at Paul in the midst of his storm, and they said, wow. They were emboldened to live well. And if we'll do that, people will look at us and say, wow, and they will be emboldened to live well, and Jesus Christ will be exalted. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise. It's just good for us to be together. I sense that so strongly. When there's this huge storm, and when there's been a storm like Harvey, and boy, everybody's on edge. And some lives, especially where these storms are hitting, are just being sheared. Father, it's good to turn to you. It's good to declare dependence upon you. It's good to sing your praise to some of these great old hymns that us old folks really grew up on. It's good to be here. And Father, may we learn from Jesus' disciples as they're in this storm on the Sea of Galilee, lessons that will hold us in good stead. And the main one being that we've got to answer the question, who is this, that even the winds and the seas obey Him? They feared a great fear. Father, your word says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Would you teach us through all of this to fear you more, to grow an understanding of who you are, and the glory of your Son. Father, teach us. This is a very teachable time for us as a church, as families. Thank you that we have an individuals as a nation. Thank you that we have an anchor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand.